Hey everyone, Jared Sebesta here, host of Repurposed. Here's your podcast. I hope you enjoy.
The legacy of football, people are going to forget how good you were. And in some ways, people will make you better as you get older than you really were. But I think that for me, to look back and people hear that name in 20 years and say, that was a good dude, but he's also a great football player.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurpose, the show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taichus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire our clients to have true wealth. For more information, go to our website, taichusfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you Chad Greenway. Now, if you are a Minnesota Vikings fan or watch the NFL at all, you likely know Chad. He played 11 seasons in the NFL, all of which were with the Minnesota Vikings, and he just retired in spring of 2017. And I would say from a spectator's, viewer's perspective, like myself, Chad comes off as a great guy, family man, small town values. He grew up on a farm actually in eastern South Dakota, very well respected by the league, by the fans, and by his teammates. Today, Chad spends much of his time speaking around the region and around the nation and working with his foundation called Lead the Way. We talk about him growing up in South Dakota and the impact Chad's late father, Alan, had on him. Chad said that he was one of the greatest and strongest men that he had ever met, and there were three specific life lessons that he passed on to Chad. And we also talk about faith. Chad admits that he is not the most religious guy around, but there's something faith-related that he uses to have impact on others today, now off the field. Here's my chat with Chad Greenway. Chad, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me on the podcast today. Huge honor for me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, it's always fun to get on and talk about your career and where you grew up and kind of what you've become. And so I look forward to the opportunity. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's exactly some of the stuff I want to talk about. First things first, how is retirement life treating you?
It's been good. It's been really good. You know, it's sort of this big thing that's always talked about in NFL circles when you're going to go to retire. You know, everybody's really cautionary about that mentality and getting out of the game and making sure you've emptied the tank and making sure that every last play is out of you. You know, I didn't want to have any regrets was my biggest thing. You hear so many horror stories of guys that retired and they get divorced, the guys that retired and have financial issues, they retired and have all these issues. And I really wanted to be prepared for my family. I want to be prepared that I knew mentally I was going to be done because I didn't want to become somebody that I wasn't as a father, somebody that I wasn't as a person. I wanted to be able to maintain or even improve what I am post football. And I'm working on that. It's been enjoyable. I knew I was ready to be done, and I prepared for it. And right now I'm just absolutely basking in my children and my wife and our life and their lives. It's been awesome.
Was it hard to watch the Vikings play last Sunday? We're recording this here in mid to late September 2017. The Vikings just had their first game. Was it hard to watch and not feel like you wanted to get back in there?
You know, it really honestly wasn't. I'll say that at the end of the game, I was sitting behind the bench. I have some friends that are in the work with Polaris, the company Polaris, that huge sponsor of the Vikings at the new stadium. And I was sitting in their suite, which is about, you know, 30 yards behind the bench. And to see Coach Zimmer taking his headset off, knowing the victory was in hand with like a minute and a half left, and the guys start to celebrate, that was kind of the first time where I'm like, I really missed that feeling.
Yeah.
That feeling of accomplishment, that feeling of you went through a whole training camp, you went through a whole preseason, you went through the preseason game, you finally got to the season, you accomplished your goal of winning game number one against a good team and on a Monday night, and all the preparation that the NFL requires and all the time you put in to every game. It's just so much. So that feeling was kind of the first time I looked at my wife, I was like, that is a fun feeling. I'm going to miss that.
Yeah.
More so even than running down the tunnel, more so to get your name called, you know, for a tackle. It was that feeling of camaraderie of accomplishment with your teammates.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to talk a lot about your foundation. We'll get into that, but I just got to be honest. I want to get right to the nitty gritty. I know you have a limited amount of time. You made such an impact on your teammates, on the game. You have won awards, Community Man of the Year. You're such a well-respected guy on and off the field. How did you do that? And that's coming from a guy who's about your age, not a little bit older. I want to make an impact like that. How did you do that?
Well, it's the people around me. I thought about this a lot, and kind of just reflected sense of thinking about growing up in South Dakota, playing nine-man football, graduating with 26 kids in my class, and the mentality or even the audacity I had to think that I could go play the NFL and just accomplish this goal. The best part about Iowa is, in my opinion, why I love the University of Iowa, other than the fact that I went there, was they're not afraid to give opportunities in a situation where an opportunity doesn't look like it's going to work out. Yeah. They drove them up to South Dakota. They took 7 hours out of the day, one way to drive up there to take a look at this kid who had no offers from anybody else, who had grainy VHS tape, played nine-man football. I mean, nobody was offering anybody for nine-man football players. I mean, it just wasn't happening. So to me, all the things that have been accomplished, whether it be personal, foundation, football, it's all about an opportunity. And when I got given the opportunity, it really became apparent to me that now it's on me. It's on me to live up to that as a person. And that's twofold with how my parents lived their life and how my grandparents lived their life. I never wanted to be that person that went back to the community with my head held down. I always wanted to have the state of South Dakota and my community be so proud of what I've accomplished or what I've done or what I'm doing. And it's one thing to say it. It's not only to do it and do it every day, be consistent about it. That to me is what creates greatness, is doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And then that becomes your norm. And, anybody can be great for a day. Anybody can do awesome things for a day, but can you do it over a certain amount of time? And I cannot do that without just having always having awesome people around.
Yeah.
I say to my kids now, I have four kids, my oldest being 10. I say that to them all the time. You are the company you keep, and there's no more truer word said to me than that. Because the people around you, good, bad, or indifferent, will shape you who you are.
Yeah. You talked about growing up in South Dakota on a livestock ranch just west of Mitchell, Mount Vernon. You talked about your parents. What was one of the biggest things that your dad taught you? I know that you lost him just a couple of years ago. What's some of those biggest lessons and values that they instilled in you?
Well, my dad was the toughest person I ever knew. My dad was strongest person I ever knew. My dad was emotional. My dad was, he wasn't lovey-dovey, all over you kind of dad, but he was a guy that wasn't afraid to show some emotion.
Yeah.
And the number one thing I learned from him was how to love my wife. And the number one thing I learned from him was how to be a great dad.
Yeah.
And, the number one thing I learned from him was how to be patient. And, so all in all, it really has nothing to do with sports. It's more about just the person he was.
Yeah.
And then now for me to live up to what he did and the person he was is now my obligation, being his only son, to push that forward and become him in my own way. And my dad was a phenomenal person. If you ask anybody, I mean, like I said, we live in a town of about 400 people, but the line for his wake at our church was out the door and halfway down the block.
Yeah.
Now, a bad person that treats his neighbors accordingly, or a bad person that treats other people poorly, won't have that. He was just a different kind of person, and a guy that people love, an infectious smile, and just so grateful to have a dad like that. Not everybody gets that opportunity, and so I want to become that person for my kids.
That's awesome. Let's talk about your foundation, Lead the Way Foundation. It's got three main programs underneath that: the Tender Heart Luncheon, Field of Dreams, Chad's Locker. Can you just describe briefly kind of what each of those do?
Yeah, the Tender Heart Luncheon is less of a program. It's a one day. It is a program. It's a one day event. So yeah. Basically what we do is we host up to 200 moms. And they may have, caretakers with them, or they may have, their moms with them or a friend. But they come, and we basically treat them to a brunch, a luncheon, all about these moms. And what these moms represent are they're all moms of kids with disabilities or kids that have cancer or kids that have gone through tremendous things and have some survived, some are currently going through, and some have been lost.
Yeah.
And we celebrate these moms at the Tender Heart Luncheon. We make it about them. We give them, of course, we give them gifts, and we do some things, some pampering. But the most unique part of the Tenderheart Lunch is we give them a voice. We give them a microphone, and we kind of get out of the way, and we let them tell their story. And then, you know, I can't get up there and tell these women about how my kid is sick and dying, or my kid is sick and they don't know the cause, and my kid is sick at this. I can't do that. What I can do is provide a platform for these women to do that for each other. And that's what the Tenderheart Lunch is for.
Yeah.
It's the most powerful event we have. It's a one-day event. It's incredible.
The Field of Dreams is kind of similar but different. Go ahead.
The Field of Dreams is really family-based. Yeah. And what that is essentially, in basic terms, it's a staycation for these families. So this year we were able to take 13 families. We partnered with the Mall of America and the Radisson Blue, which is attached to the Mall of America there. And we basically, from start to finish, starting Saturday morning till Sunday evening, everything is paid for, from the gas card to get them there to all the rides. We give them spending money in the mall. We give them the hotel room. We get free access for the first 3 hours of the day at the Nickelodeon Universe without any line. So nice. Nobody else except us is in there.
Cool.
Just a really fun, unique experience. We had this last year, just a few weeks ago, we got to cross off some bucket list items for some of these kids. They rode the Ferris wheel in one instance, and the merry-go-round in the other. And sounds very simple to somebody who's able-bodied and get around, but these kids, they'd never ridden a ride before.
Wow!
But because we work at Nickelodeon University and the Mall of America, have this unique opportunity, we're able to provide that for these kids, and just an unbelievable experience. And these families, we're very thankful and grateful. And give them a weekend away where they either couldn't afford to do it or didn't have the time to do it. And we tried to provide that for them.
It's awesome.
So our locker program is the reason I like the locker program is because we can affect the most amount of people. So we can positively affect hundreds of thousands of people a year, essentially in each hospital we're in. We're going to go into our ninth this fall. And what we do is it's real basic. It's not a unique thing. We fill out these lockers full of technology, whether it be an iPad or a digital camera, Nintendo DS, Xbox, laptop computers. And we provide access to these things, around the clock, year round, 365 days a year to families that either don't have them, forgot them, lost them, broke them, and they go there, check these out and use them while they're in the hospital. Hmm. You know, we've had people that have used them over a year-long stay. We've had people that have used them on a one-day come in and get have a doctor's appointment. So they're put to great use at every hospital. Every hospital location uses them a little bit differently. But it's just a tremendous usage and just helping in a unique way and by volume, but just helping the most amount of people.
That's awesome. My question to all of this to you is why? What's in your heart and what's inside of you? And maybe this, you can stem this back to your parents and your upbringing, but why do you have such a heart for this type of thing, specifically for people with special needs and families that are struggling? What is it inside of you that drives you to do that?
Well, to me, it's again, to go back to the word opportunity. Being in the NFL is a unique experience. Being in the NFL is, in some ways, I think it's overdone. Like the celebrity that you get by becoming an NFL player is, in my opinion, a little bit overdone. But the one positive is if it does, it creates this platform, this unique platform that you have to sort of stand on a stump and tell people that your opinion matters.
Yeah.
And in my case, you know, in some cases, people obviously respond negatively as athletes. In my case, I want to be somebody who is responding extremely positively and doing something different for change. And it really started, again, circling back to my parents and my wife's parents, my in-laws, about what their mentality is when it comes to giving back in charity. So for me, it was about my parents. You know, we didn't have extra money. We didn't have necessarily things. We had meat. And we provide meat to our church for them to hand out during the holidays so every family would have something to eat and have a proper meal for their family. And
yeah,
it's not just, you know, we look at it as, yeah, that's a simple thing. But that's a tangible item of a monetary amount that we require to, you know, use for our family. We would sell to use for our family to get things, to buy shoes, to buy, you know, clothes for school, to do whatever. And they were willing to part ways with that and give it to somebody else, even though we didn't have a lot, because that's what they had. That was their resource.
Yeah.
So to me, the NFL has created a great resource to create a foundation. And if you help one person, you've done enough.
But
if you can help millions, obviously, it's a huge difference.
Was that your idea? Did somebody come up to you and say, hey, you should do this? Or was it just part of who you were, again, just kind of trying to connect the
dots?
Yeah.
I had read and heard about some foundations, and I started asking questions, and then it sort of just happened organically. So I can't take full credit for being my idea, my wife's idea. It was sort of a compilation of all of our ideas. So some of the people we were working with at the time, and my wife and I, we just came up with the idea that we need to start something, that we need to do it. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to Brad Babson. He's a community director for the Minnesota Vikings. And in my opinion, a lot of credit goes to him and his mentality and approach when it comes to new players coming into the Vikings. He gets them set up with new things and help people get kind of in front of the right folks to make a difference.
Do you feel that football, like, this was your purpose going into the NFL, and this was the thing that you were put on this earth to do for a period of time? And if the answer is yes, when did you know that? Can you answer that?
I don't think that is. I really don't. I think that was my dream and my cause in my younger years that have now passed. A dream that gave me a purpose. A dream that gave me a lot of opportunities, like I've stated before.
Yeah.
But it also gave me my wife, which then is now giving me my kid. So for me to say the NFL was my purpose and football is my purpose, I just don't think of it that way. I guess I think of it as my wife and kids are my purpose, and that's my number one. And because of football, that happened, yes. Because of the God-given abilities I had, obviously that was, and the people that I became around, you know, that they gave me those opportunities. But now my purpose is obviously different. Now my purpose is my family and my kids, their upbringing, and trying to raise respectful, in my case, respectable women. I have four daughters.
You mentioned church and a little bit about faith. If you don't mind me asking, what role has faith played in this whole journey up to this point?
Well, it's funny. I get asked that question a lot. And I, you know, growing up, we went to church often. We grew up in a Lutheran church. I'm not going to a Catholic church. We're raising our kids Catholic only because my wife won that discussion. I'm not going to say we're the most religious people, but we really believe in doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And that is based off of our faith.
Yeah.
And that's based off of our teachings as kids, my wife and I, it's funny, my dad was this amazing person, but he wasn't the guy who went to church every weekend. And his main thing was, yes, that's the house of God where you need to pray and go, you know, you have your sins forgiven, and obviously worship with other people in the community and all the things that the church, you know, embody. But the biggest thing was, to him, was more important than anything is how you treat other people.
Yeah.
And that, to him, dictated who he was more than anything.
You think that's why? You think that's why everybody was lined up around the block at his wake?
Right, and you know, to be treated like you want, you know, to treat somebody like you want to be treated, and then to have that go back, rather than we've all known somebody who sits in the front pew of church and is the first one there, the last one to leave on Sundays, but treats people like crap during the week.
Right.
And my dad was the opposite of that. And then just talking about me individually, my wife's family was deeply rooted in their Catholic faith and exercised it weekly and lived accordingly. And I think me being around her in my adult life, you know, not since we've been married since I was 23, having her to be the pillar kind of beside me, you know, checking me, of course, when I need it, and me checking her when she needs it, is such a huge reminder and just an everyday reminder of who we are and the type of people we want to be.
Yeah. How do you want your legacy to be remembered? You know, when people think of Chad Greenway, what do you want people to think, and what do you want their thoughts to be when your name comes up 20, 30, 40 years down the road?
I just think that I want people to realize that anything's possible. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the inner city or you grew up in a small farming community, that any dream is not too far away. I think it's the biggest thing. For me, like, I'm never going to remember for being, you know, in some circles I'll be remembered for being a great football player, but in a lot of ways I'd rather just be a great teammate, a great person. I think more importantly I'll be remembered for that, and I hope I will be and continue to live that life. And I think that's something that's more important for me, because the legacy of football, people are going to forget how good you were. And in some ways people will make you better as you get older than you really were.
Right.
But I think that for me to look back and people hear that name in 20 years and say, that was a good dude, but he's also a great football player.
That's awesome. What are you going to do now? You know, you found so much, your time and your kind of identity was in football. You're now less than a year away from that. What's next for Chad Greenway?
Yeah, so I have a communications degree from the University of Iowa. And when I was there, I did spent a lot of time in front of people and speaking and being super awkward, uncomfortable college kid that didn't know what he's doing. To now becoming a guy who obviously is given, you know, thousands of interviews over my career, to, I now own it and run a speaking business. That's actually where I'm driving now to Des Moines to get to deliver a speech.
Cool.
And I try to just lean on my experience. You know, I'm 34 years old. I'm certainly not the oldest and most experienced guy, but I've been through some stuff, seen some things that a lot of people haven't been able to see. And come from an area where it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I have some insight on how that happened and why that happened and the mental approach and the consistent approach that requires to do it on a daily basis. And I love to talk about it. And it's become now easy for me, where it was obviously super hard when I was 22, but has become easier and actually fun for me. I'm also on Super Bowl 52 on that committee. I'm in charge of the volunteers.
Cool.
And that's been a really fun experience and just a unique experience. Second time we've had the Super Bowl in Minnesota, and I don't have a chance to be a part of it, so really cool.
And a lot of these things that you're doing with your wife. That's got to be awesome and fun all at the same time.
It is. You know, my wife is an athlete at Iowa as well. Our kids are hyper, hyper, super competitive people. So my kids are the majority of my life. So my wife is the majority of my life. But the things I'm doing outside of the home is our speaking and our foundation work and volunteering. But, you know, to be honest with you, my wife and my kids are 95% of what I do.
Yeah.
And it's fun for me to see my kids compete. I think sport teaches the most invaluable lessons, or the most valuable lessons in life. Mm-hmm. About pushing yourself, competing, about putting everything on the line and sometimes losing it.
Yeah.
And watching yourself get scraped back up and accomplishing a goal. And I'm not saying you have to do it at the highest level. I'm just saying sports to me are vital for way more reasons than winning and losing.
Yeah.
And now that I'm a youth coach, I try to give those lessons. And I love when my teams lose because it gives me the opportunity to teach.
Hmm.
And I want to do that for my kids and my girls. And you know, obviously having four girls, I want to create strong, independent girls that can stand on their own if they have to.
Yeah.
And have, you know, extremely good values. And that's something that we're working on every day.
Yeah. That is awesome. Chad, I want to respect your time here. I know you're a busy, busy man. You're on the road right now to Des Moines. Thanks so much for spending time with me here on the podcast today. We want to encourage people to live lives of impact, get involved, make dents in society. You're definitely doing that. How can people like myself and listeners get involved and help your cause?
Well, for us, you can do everything on our website at chadgreenway.org. It talks about our programs, our events, our camps. The things we're doing, our 5K we run, we have so many different events that we do that we didn't mention today.
Yeah.
But, you know, my biggest challenge to anybody is it doesn't have to be with us. I mean, we obviously would love the support, but there's somebody somewhere near you that needs you. Hmm. And sometimes it just takes us going and opening our eyes and looking or picking our head up and saying, hey, that person needs some help.
Yeah.
And going to an organization and saying, hey, how can I help? How can I tutor a kid after school? Can I mentor a kid? Can I take a kid out of a bad situation to help with his grades? Can I do more? Is it possible for me to do more?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do. We're all going to fail, but as long as we're trying, we're doing the right thing.
Last question here. Do you ever get back to South Dakota, back on the ranch?
I do. You know, we get back quite a bit.
Yeah.
We try to. My wife is from Illinois, Chicago area, so we're always kind of traveling to two different directions. And we found when you have your fourth kid, you're on lockdown. So we try. We really do. We wish we could do it more often. And,
yeah.
And we love living in Minneapolis and the opportunities it creates for our family. So we're really happy. But, of course, you always want to see your family more.
Yeah, that's great. Drive safe. All the best, Chad. Thanks so much for the time here today. And just from a personal note, I'm a fan and all the folks here in West Central Minnesota, huge fans. So keep up the great work. We're excited to see this next phase of your journey, Chad. Appreciate it.
Yep, sounds good, Jared. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Chad Greenway. So many takeaways from this interview. How about his father and the life lessons that he got from his dad? He said, I learned how to love my wife from my dad, how to be a great father, and how to be patient. And some of the biggest impacts that he got from his dad was how he treated other people. And that's what legacy is all about. We have such an opportunity as parents and grandparents to teach our kids and our grandkids on a daily basis about life, how to treat people, and most importantly, about our faith. So I hope you take that challenge seriously here today. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, the show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.